Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. It is. Hang on 1 second. It is Friday, headed into Labor Day weekend. One more time. Welcome in here to the Friday edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
KC is out today.
Yes, sir.
There you go. We can do that too when we're alive. Alongside super producer Kyle Mattson, kind enough to stick around and hang out with me for a little bit while longer as we head into the last weekend before football is here. Of course, we've got that big time football game tomorrow with Texas and Ohio State, which I'm very excited for. We got the kickoff of the Sac State football season as well. We'll talk a little bit about that with Joe Davidson when he joins us about 45 minutes from now. Eddie Gonzalez will be with us here for his weekly visit coming up at about 2:15 or so. We'll close out the day talking about the Sacramento Kings, unless, of course, some major news breaks, much like it did yesterday. Thanks for hanging out.
Well, Damian, I'm sorry about that.
You know, I don't know that that's not better. You're the commissioner.
Say that one more time.
Well, Damian, I'm sorry about that, but I had to get down to Morton's.
It's good, I think.
Not bad.
It's a younger Jerry Jones.
I was going to say, the best part about it was only a couple seconds long. It didn't go on for 2.5 minutes.
God, if I had a nickel.
Every time.
Well, all right.
Got you. No, a nickel. No, right.
Here we go.
It's fine. All right. You're doing great.
I decided this morning that my college football fandom is my favorite fandom.
Explain.
Because I don't have a favorite team.
Okay.
I'm not emotionally invested. I just like it.
That's a great way to live.
I just like it.
Yeah.
Texas, Ohio State, psyched. Couldn't care less who wins. I kind of lean Ohio State for my guy Chris Biederman.
Sure.
But if Ohio State loses, it's not going to ruin my day. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to feel any type of way about it. I'm going to be like, hey, sorry, man. But it's not, I don't care. I just, I float through this. And when there's a big game on, I'm going to turn it on. Or if it's midweek and we got some action, I'll throw that on. But I'm not going to be emotionally invested at all ever. But I still like it very much.
Yeah.
It is my favorite sports fan. And now I miss out on some of the highs of, you know, having a favorite team and when they win and have a big moment. I miss out on that high, but I also escape the lows. I have never once left a college football game devastated mm-hmm. with my day ruined. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's the best. But I still get to experience the high moments of the kick six in Auburn, Alabama. Like mm-hmm. I still get all those moments, and it's unbelievable.
I for years thought I was a Ohio State fan, and it was actually last year that I realized that I'm not. Like not enough to, like, they won the national championship last year. I didn't really care.
You're like, cool.
Because like my love for Ohio State is a lot like your support of the Buckeyes, like your buddy Chris Biederman. He's one mm-hmm. of your closer friends. My man Io's been my best friend for 30 mm-hmm. years. He's from Ohio, loves Ohio State. I got mm-hmm. family in Ohio, like that whole thing. And it's like, yeah, like I've just, as long as I've been a college football fan, I've kind of rooted for Ohio State. Like they've had a couple of losses that have stung, But when they won last year, it wasn't like I was celebrating. I was like, oh, it's good job for Ryan Day, saved his job.
Yeah.
Good for him. I thought of it more like a sports media person. Like, okay, what's the story out of this? Well, Ryan Day's not getting fired tomorrow.
Right.
Because there was definitely some question as to whether he was. I even wondered if he'd be the first coach to win a national championship and still be fired because he can't beat sure. Michigan.
Yeah.
But living without that emotional attachment to a team can be a lot of fun. That's kind of the way I am in football.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Cowboys documentary was so difficult for me, because I loved that Cowboys team.
Right.
I was emotionally invested in wins and losses of that Cowboys team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through the, you know, the highs in the mid, you know, the early to mid 90s to, you know, Tony Romo and the divisional round mm-hmm. against the Giants and all of that different stuff, all the way up until 2016-17. And it was like, okay, I'm out. Now I can watch football from a sense like, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Tom Brady win a ring with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was insane.
That was incredible.
Watching the Philadelphia Eagles get back to the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
and win
mm-hmm.
was pretty, in a year that we wondered in like week two or three if Nick Sirianni was going to be fired.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it doesn't hurt me. Mm-hmm. Like, as a, if you know, I want the best for our product. I want the best for Niners Wire and mm-hmm. Candlestick Chronicles and you and KC.
Sure.
It didn't hurt me that the 49ers, it hurt me that the 49ers lost. It didn't. Like, it hurt me for you guys.
Sure.
But that is such a great way to watch sports, in my opinion.
That's the best. It's just pure.
Especially
just
when the Kings are here. Because.
Yeah. Sure.
Getting emotionally wrapped up in them. Yeah, that's gonna cut you.
Yeah, it's tough.
Gonna cut you deep.
Yeah. Yeah, not just sitting down on a Saturday, a college football on. And yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Don't care. Who wins, who loses?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. Fired up. I care about Sac State.
Of course.
I want to see Sac State succeed.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm excited for their season to get underway. Hell of a start against South Dakota State. You weren't really big on the 49ers getting to the Super Bowl prior to yesterday, were you?
Nah. And honestly, I think if you asked Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in a private moment, they would probably tell you the same thing.
Mm.
At least right now. Because their whole thing is, okay, well, you have young players, and when young players play, they get better. And so come November, December, those young players are going to be ready to play at a Super Bowl level. And like, okay, I don't hate the philosophy. That makes sense to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really difficult thing to bank on.
Their chances to get to the Super Bowl got worse yesterday.
They have to, right?
Because I feel like the Packers got a lot better.
Yeah, I think the Packers were already probably, if you were ranking teams, I know the betting market doesn't say so,
sure.
But I probably would have had the Packers ahead of the 49ers as of before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Not super far ahead, but in front of them.
Are they super far ahead now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, because they did the thing where they had young players, and those young players have all been very good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have
a tremendous coach.
He's so good.
He's really, like,
I think
his,
he doesn't get talked about enough.
I could not agree more. And it's tough because, you know, Andy Reid is winning Super Bowls.
Sure.
And Sean McVay is still a tremendous coach and I still think Kyle Shanahan is a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt LaFleur's like record to start his career is absurd.
He's 67-33. And they've been to the playoffs in five of his six seasons.
It's incredible.
And they've won a playoff game in three of those five trips. Like he's awesome. And they've changed quarterbacks in that stretch.
They have.
Is the right. Wild part. Like, it's not right. Like, oh, he fell into Aaron Rodgers and he's got prime Aaron Rodgers this whole time. Like, no, he had old ass Aaron Rodgers and then transitioned to Jordan Love, and now all of a sudden they win nine games and they lose in the second round, and then they win 11 games and lose in the first round.
Old ass Aaron Rodgers did win an MVP with Matt LaFleur, right? Did he win
19, I think?
Two or one.
Let's see. Definitely in 19.
Yeah, the finish to I mean, what was Aaron Rodgers' line, which I absolutely...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He won it in 20 and 21 were the back-to-back years. I thought it was 19-20. It's 20-21.
And LaFleur was the coach for both of those years, right?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he started in 19.
And then Jordan Love had to pick up where, Aaron Rodgers had a line, like, I threw off the timeline or something like that by winning. I threw off the plan. Mm-hmm. And I think he was right.
Yeah, 1,000%.
He was absolutely 1,000%. Right. They absolutely expected him to stink, and he didn't.
Yep.
And they couldn't go to Jordan Love after your quarterback wins the MVP. And,
and then does it again.
And then does it again, right.
Yeah, they're sitting there like, oh, damn. But it's the parallels in the Packers quarterback thing between Rodgers and Favre, and then Favre and Love, are just ridiculous.
It's
so funny.
It's pretty insane to go from Favre to Rodgers to Love and never have the Rex Grossman or the, you know, C.J. Beathard or whatever.
Yeah,
a down year.
They've never. I know there have been years where this has been the case, but I feel like my entire life I've been watching the Packers be good.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been in a scenario where the 49ers play the Packers and I'm like, oh yeah, the 49ers are definitely winning today. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just always good.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And it's amazing to me that more teams haven't adopted the idea of, yeah, maybe you draft a quarterback a little bit before you need him.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Packers did with Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it has worked to the tune of they're going to wind up having three starting quarterbacks over, it might be close to four decades at that point, which is insane. And you look at the situation that the Cowboys are in, it's like, this was a conversation yesterday. You might want to look to drafting a quarterback this year.
Yeah, the Eagles did it.
Right.
With Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry? Would you worry at all if you were dishing out this advice to a team? Would you worry at all about that affecting the dynamic with your current starting quarterback, though? Where I'm trying to think the Cowboys.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
that's something you got to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it just happened in Atlanta, right? With Kirk Cousins and.
Yeah.
Well, was it Kirk Cousins person they signed?
They signed Kirk Cousins to a billion-dollar contract.
Yes, $1.5 billion.
And then, I always get that wrong. And then draft Michael Penix.
Right.
But the issue there is I genuinely believe that when they signed Kirk Cousins, they said, hey, we're signing you. We're also going to use our first-round pick on a quarterback because you're 38 or whatever he is, 36, 37, coming off an Achilles tear. We're also planning for our future here. We want you to win now, but we're also getting ready for down the road. I think he would have been okay with it, but from everything I've heard and read, they just blindsided him with that.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, wait, what the?
Yeah.
So that would take a level of communication and trust, I think, between the quarterback and the organization. But yeah, I'm just.
But it never seems to be there. Like Aaron Rodgers didn't have a trust for the Green Bay Packers, just like Brett Favre didn't seem to have a trust for the Green Bay Packers.
So I guess you just tell him tough. Like,
yeah,
deal with it.
Yeah,
I guess. I'm with you, man. It's like teams wait until they're awful, and then go, oh, we're gonna draft a quarterback and he's gonna save us. When time and time again, it is shown whether you draft that guy early or whatever it is, when you drop a quarterback into a quality situation, you're probably gonna get quality quarterback play.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
And I don't know why, and it probably has to do with what we were talking about with Jerry Jones, right? There's this pressure for GMs to like win now.
Yeah.
And if you get a Patrick Mahomes, if you get a Lamar Jackson, if you get a Josh Allen, you get a Joe Burrow, that's your fast track. That's your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But also, man, you could just build a really good team and then find a Brock Purdy and just drop him onto it and now you're all set.
Did the Patriots try to do that with Jimmy? Because they drafted Jimmy in what, the second or third round?
Yeah, he was a second rounder, right?
I think
he got traded for.
I feel like Jimmy was drafted in the second round, but it might be the third. Point is, Jimmy was drafted really high, long before. Like, Tom Brady never played bad football.
Second round pick. Yeah.
Tom Brady never played bad football, but it feels like the Patriots were trying to approach this with the sense of, well, Tom Brady's going to start playing bad football. And then just never did, had to, like, pivot. And then Tom Brady eventually said, the hell with you guys. I'm going to go win a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay and be really good there.
This is so funny. It's the extreme example of what you're talking about with Aaron Rodgers messing up the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, but to the maximum extent. Do you know how old Tom Brady was when Jimmy Garoppolo got drafted?
Oh, man. 35?
37.
Oh.
When they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. Which makes sense. All right, hey, you're going to draft Jimmy Garoppolo. You got him for 4 years. Tom Brady's 37. You get him 37, 38, 39. All right, he starts to decline. You got Jimmy G. Here we go. And then Tom Brady goes fifth in MVP voting, second in MVP voting, second in MVP voting, wins MVP at age 40, and then has a rough year at age 41. And they're like, cool. But they've already traded Jimmy, but they're like, okay, now we can move on from Brady. And he goes and Jacoby wins Brissett. Another Super Bowl. Like,
who was their quarterback that first year?
Oh, my God. It was looking in what year is that? 2020? Oh, no, it was Cam Newton.
Oh.
Was their quarterback in 20?
Oh, they weren't prepared.
Yeah, yeah. Cam Newton started 15 games. They also had Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer.
Jarrett Stidham, I think that's who I was thinking of.
Oof.
Looking at Tom Brady's Pro Football Reference page.
Insane.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
We were drawing the comps of, like, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are going to wind. It's the Michael Jordan, LeBron James conversation. Like, where you're like, no, Mike is amazing. Like, his accolades, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Then you pull up his basketball reference page, and it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You it's do just the same all thing. Bold. Like, the Tom Brady went in double-digit games virtually every year of his career. Throwing 40 touchdowns at the age of like 42. It's like it doesn't make any sense.
His age 45 season, this is 45-year-old Tom Brady, starts 17 games, leads the league in pass attempts at 733, a career high.
Yeah.
Completions, 490, a career high. Completes 67% of his passes, 4,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
The funniest
at age
part,
45.
That's his last year.
That's his last year.
The funniest part about that, and correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't even want to play that season. Didn't he retire and come back and then retire again?
Yeah, because there was all this thing like, oh, he's just going to come back again. And he was like, no, but for real this time. Because, oh, no, that was Schefter reported that he was going to retire. And then there was going to be this documentary that came out where at the end of it, he retired at the end of it. But then because it didn't go kind of the way he wanted it to go, he came back for one more year.
Okay.
Or something along those lines.
What year was he trying to do the whole thing with the Miami Dolphins?
Oh, God, that was like 2015.
What? Oh, like how many seasons did he play after he tried to do that?
Wait, which one did
he get? Was he going to be the Dolphins quarterback?
Yeah, he was going to be like a quarterback and co-owner.
And then the owner.
Tom Brady was like 2021.
Oh, man.
That's crazy. Hey, can I this is the thing that jumps out the most. Of all the things on the Tom Brady football reference page, I'm going to do this. Remind me the Jordan LeBron comp. In 2011, Tom Brady went 13-3. The Patriots went 13-3. Tom Brady started all 16. He threw for 5,235 yards, 39 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, was not an all-pro, and was not in the MVP balloting. I got to figure out what happened in 2011.
That's the...
what the hell happened to the...
That's the LeBron James syndrome. We just can't keep giving it to him.
Probably. Rodgers that year... 4,600 yards, 45 touchdowns, 6 picks for the Packers. Drew Brees came in second. That's where all the votes went. Because that was, remember, they didn't do the ranked voting. It was just you pick one guy. And nobody voted for Tom Brady after that season.
Absolutely incredible.
So I kind of wonder, you bring up the Brady-Mahomes thing. If we do it that way, is it more likely that Brady is the LeBron, though?
No.
Where the longevity is just so insane? That even if Mahomes plays, because Brady was how many years in the league?
1,000.
Brady was 1,000 years in the league, 23 years. There's a real chance that Mahomes' peak is better, but he plays 15 years. And maybe isn't.
So the story's incomplete. because Patrick Mahomes is so early into his career.
Right.
But the thing, I don't think Patrick will get to seven. Is it seven titles? Like, I don't think he's getting to seven. And it's the it's the seven that puts Jordan and Brady together.
Seven Super Bowls. His first one was in 2001. His seventh one was in 2020.
That is a LeBron-like stat. That's insane. A very, very LeBron-like stat. Like, Jordan's is 91 and, what, 98?
Yeah. It's 6 and 8 years.
It's the most incredible seven-year stretch of, you know, modern basketball ever.
Over or under, what's Mahomes have right now? 3? 19.
Is it 3?
22, 23.
Okay, right.
So he has 3 right now. 3. Over, under, 4.5.
Over.
5.5.
Over.
Oh,
I'll stop at 6.
So God, we're going to get to the crazy. We're going to get to
He's
the,
at 3 now?
Yeah, he's at 3 right now.
Okay. Let me look one. I need to look up one thing.
Hey, while you're doing that.
You're listening to KIFM. No, sorry. Go ahead. 67. I'll take 6. I needed to see Andy Reid's age.
Oh, okay. Very good. On top of that, here's the thing that I don't think as good as I am a big Patrick Mahomes guy. I think Patrick Mahomes is amazing. Tom Brady also has the all-time record for starts at 333 games.
Mm-hmm.
Passing yards, passing touchdowns, fourth quarter comebacks, and game-winning drives. Like, having that gold on your football reference page when it comes down to the semantics of, like, who's better between these two all-time greats,
mm-hmm.
having that gold, like, Mahomes to eclipse Brady is going to, A, have to do it in Super Bowls, but then is B, going to have to do it in all of those stats as well. Because he did it first. I think we see this with LeBron.
Right.
If LeBron does what he does during the Michael Jordan era, and then Michael Jordan comes and does what he does in this era, there's no question. There's not even, I don't think it's even a debate. People be like, yeah, Michael has 6 titles, but look at what LeBron did for 23 years. Mm-hmm. But Michael did it first.
Mm.
And I just don't think that there's ever, and I think there's going to be a level of nostalgia with Brady that.
Well, I think we live in a polarizing sports media 24/7 conversation where, like, no matter, like, if we were in a debate class and there were 60 people in the room and 30 said Michael was the greatest and 30 said LeBron were the greatest. And your job is to argue for LeBron and my job is to argue for Michael. None of those 60 people are changing their mind.
No doubt.
No matter what you say, no matter what I say, no one's changing their mind because they have had the conversation a million times and people will never get over 6-0.
Yeah,
or they'll never get over what Michael meant to them as they watched basketball.
Right.
The difference, one of the huge differences, I think, is Michael really, you know, ushered basketball along. Like Magic and Larry, they did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, what Magic and Larry did in the early days was massive. Mm-hmm. But Jordan kind of took this to a different generation. Magic and Larry were like older fans' favorite players.
Right.
But Michael was coming along. He had that flashier game. Not that Magic's wasn't flashy, but like it was like you had like those guys, but it was Jordan alone.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron shares the spotlight with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's not Kobe, you have those Allen Iverson people. And then you have like you start to run through the gamut of players that guys really got attached to, the Dwayne Wades, it's again not saying they're on their level except for Kobe in terms of the greatest of all time, but you have people that you're sharing the generation with. I don't know a lot of people who go, man, Patrick Ewing was my favorite of all time.
Sure.
David Robinson is just God, I just loved him. Like, you loved Michael, you loved Magic, you loved Larry, you probably liked everybody else.
Sure.
That's not really the case anymore. And I think that's one of the things that
That's a good point.
I think that's one of the things that LeBron deals with in this conversation is that There'll be people be like, man, it's Kobe for me.
Sure.
Like, if it's not Michael, it's not Mike. No, it's Kobe. Kobe's sure. The one I grew up with. Or Shaq or something like that.
I think the other thing that changes the conversation between, like Mahomes and Brady or LeBron and Jordan is that LeBron and Jordan, there's a very clear delineation in the eras. Mm-hmm. And then all the eras that LeBron spanned. Tom Brady played 6 years in the league at a high level when Mahomes was in the league. Like, it doesn't feel like there's that big of a separation between them.
Also beat him twice.
Twice?
AFC Championship.
Oh, yeah, AFC title game, that's right. Yeah. But I don't think there's that going to, down the line, I don't think the nostalgia is going to be there for Brady the same way it is for Jordan. If the Mahomes-Brady conversation continues. Because Mahomes got a ways to go.
Well, in you know what part of that, in to kind of keep the same energy, you had Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
You had Rodgers.
But I feel like they're not even in the conversation.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay pretty much took
last year. Yeah, right.
I think the Bucks run pretty much took everyone out of the conversation.
Manning and Rodgers combined, and whether you think this is valid or not, this is the centerpiece of this argument always. Mm-hmm. They have three combined titles, which Tom Brady had by age 26.
Mm.
And he played till he was 45. Like, that's nuts.
Man, just a quick, I mean, Peyton had like one off year 4 years into his career. The Colts went 6-10 that year.
Is that the year he broke his jaw?
That's the year that throws off because Brady doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But every other year, 12 wins, 14 wins, 13 wins, 13 wins, 12 wins. It's what Peyton did is almost, it's equally as absurd. He just did it in 17 years versus 23. That's like a whole career.
Yeah.
For some guys. Can I steal 13 more minutes of your time?
Sure.
Okay. You heard me. I just twisted Kyle's arm. He's going to stick around a couple of more minutes because I actually have some 49ers centered questions for him. Joe Davidson is going to join us at 1:15. We've got a lot ahead. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.